You're tuned to 89.1 WGLT.org. I'm Laura Kennedy with this WGLT Datebook. It's been almost a month since we've been sheltering in place due to the coronavirus. Some have sought distraction in their entertainment choices, binging on Friends, Tiger King, or Marvel movies. Others, however, prefer to stare down the beast, seeking movies about viruses and plagues. Well, if you're seeking exposure rather than escapism, Eric Wesselman, an Illinois State University psychology professor and one half of the WGLT Psych Geeks, has some pandemic movie recommendations that might satisfy and scare you. Although he's a big fan of horror movies, Wesselman confessed via Zoom that he's not fond of the subgenre of virus movies, and for a very good reason.
It's just sort of this idea of this could really happen. I get my thrills from scary films when they are just the right level of realistic, but there's still a way of divorcing yourself from the situation. Outbreak, for example, was just too real to me. This virus that kills indiscriminately, that there seems to be very little that one can do to protect oneself from it. And then you also have the added layer of the government coming in and being willing to bomb the town, no matter what the town has to say about it. You know, now, of course, we can say, well, you know, if you take a step back and from their perspective, you know, if this contagion spreads, threatens the entire country. And yeah, I get that cognitively, but that doesn't really help the people who are going to be directly hit by the nuclear bomb or whatever. So I think just multiple layers triggered me in a way that was no longer fun.
Well, also making your list, and I'm not surprised at all to see George Romero on your list, is a film called The Crazies. Tell us about that, Eric.
The Crazies is a film that Romero made shortly after doing Night of the Living Dead, which is about a plague. It's just this virus that makes people insane and eventually kills them. There are elements of it that you can see connected to Night of the Living Dead and to later what he does in the remaining Dead films. But this was unique in that way that it was just very, very natural.
Also on your list is a more contemporary film called 28 Days Later. So can you give me a little background on this?
In 28 Days Later, it's a sort of a hybrid between the sort of traditional zombie films, or I guess modern zombie films of Romero, and then virus films. So I would say that it's in many ways very much like The Crazies. And the focus there is that whatever this virus is, you know, they call it rage, and I don't think it's ever really 100% clear where it comes from, which does put it a little bit different from other types of more traditional virus movies, that turns people rabid, and it's spread through fluids. I think some people read it as sort of a modern HIV/AIDS metaphor, which is a certainly reasonable reading. But yeah, this idea that you could contract something through fluids very easily, and then you lose your sense of self.
Eric, tell us about the breakdown of society and how it relates to these films.
We have some core needs psychologically, and one is the need for freedom, the need to be able to control our own environments and our own destinies, our sense of agency. We also have a need for safety or security. These needs can sometimes be conflicting. That's something that the social contract philosophers, Hobbes, Locke, Rousseau, they talked at length about, and it was an important part of framing our own constitution. These narratives kind of put in stark relief how these can be opposed, right? Because when there are extreme threats, it makes our desire for safety and security more salient. And so perhaps we're willing to forego some freedoms, maybe for ourselves and likely other people, to have that sense of security. And so part of this breakdown of society is people trying to come up with a way of institutionally and personally balancing these needs. And that can play within various ways. So when you see, for example, in The Crazies, the government coming in and locking down the town, you see that in Outbreak as well. You see the people rebelling. Actually, that's something about The Crazies that I found really fascinating, is that when the government comes in, you have the mayor of the town fighting back and saying, you know, you can't do this to us. I know the Constitution. I have a law degree. So he starts throwing around terms like, you know, writ of habeas corpus and things like that. And the military is just like, yeah, no, we don't care. Then they go into a church to take people out and to take them into quarantine. And it's a Catholic church. So the priest is like, you know, these people have requested sanctuary. You can't do this. And they're like, yeah, we can. And so you basically have one form of institutional authority saying to the others, these are all things that we trust in. You have no power anymore. That's scary.
Checking out your list, I was really pleased to see you included Stephen King on here, and that's The Stand.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite narratives. I've watched the made-for-TV adaptation. It was like a four-part series. I've watched that multiple times. That said, as much as I love it, it's a little too real for me.
What I liked about The Stand was that it wasn't focused strictly on this plague, this virus, and how are we going to find a cure for it? And, you know, this is very quick. We got to come up with a quick solution. It's this long narrative, and it deals with people, these individuals, and how they reacted, and these two camps that people go into. So that's what I like what King does, is he's going into people's reactions to this, the psychology behind people's reactions.
Yeah, and that's something that seems to connect many of the virus films, whether we're talking about realistic viruses or we're talking about supernatural, zombie-ish type contagion stories, is the virus is part of it. They sort of become the backdrop for the human drama to emerge. And so recently I went to my Facebook feed and asked a bunch of my Facebook friends, you know, why do you watch these types of films or why do you not? And this idea of human drama, of ethical dilemmas, good human behavior and bad human behavior comes to the forefront. And depending upon the filmmaker or the author of the text, you get more of one or more of the other. You know, let's say I'm consuming this narrative and I'm watching what these characters do. Are they nice to others? You know, in a life or death situation, are they not nice? You know, is it sort of survival of the fittest that you see emerging in some narratives, like we've talked about, or The Walking Dead, that becomes a big thing too. They're not, you know, we can watch these narratives and say, well, I wouldn't do that, or I would do that. And, you know, there is some sort of psychological safety in that, predictive control, right? I think I would do this. Now, whether or not you would actually do that in that situation is a whole other story. But at least in the moment, one reason why we might enjoy watching how these people behave is to sort of run those simulations.
One of the reasons why a lot of people watch is morbid curiosity. So can you expand a bit on the importance of that, Eric?
Curiosity is an interesting type of psychological experience. It's sort of desire to get new information. Research on curiosity is like, well, there's some types of curiosity where we just like to learn new things. Among my unscientific Facebook survey, there were individuals who said they would just watch the movies because they wanted to learn, particularly the films that actually had epidemiologists on staff consulting. Then there are others who said that they wanted to watch these not just because they wanted to learn new things, but perhaps they wanted to figure out how they would behave, or, you know, what they should do or what they should not do. And it seemed to be a little bit more of a need, if you will, that it was driving them to get that information. So that type of dichotomy and curiosity seems to be interesting. There's, I like to learn new information, or I must learn this information. And that must learn is a little bit more potent, a little bit more aversive. It's like, I need to learn this to make sure I don't do that, as opposed to just an approach response and just to learn.
So also on your list are three films that we can lump together sort of as one because they're remakes of each other. The Last Man on Earth, that had Vincent Price, if I'm remembering correctly. The Omega Man, which is Charlton Heston. And then I Am Legend, that was a Will Smith film. They're all remakes of each other. Eric, why did you choose these films?
These films are all in a very similar, although they fit in this general narrative trope that we've been discussing. A character or several characters find themselves in a survival situation where a virus has come through and done something to most of the population, either killed them or changed them. Now, it differs depending upon the narrative. It's more supernatural in I Am Legend and Last Man on Earth, whereas The Omega Man is not as much. That one was more of an action movie. Now, they're all actually based upon the book I Am Legend by Richard Matheson, which, to connect it back to Romero's original treatment of Night of the Living Dead, before he developed it into a screenplay, he was inspired by Richard Matheson's original book as well. So dealing with, you know, this external force of terror, but how would you behave?
Let's round out the whole list with George Romero's Dead series. Night of the Living Dead, Day of the Living Dead, a lot of these films. And he went over the same territory over and over again. Was he finding fresh material each time in this this plague of zombies motif?
One of the things that Romero started with was that the characters that he was making, they weren't supposed to be heroic or exceptional in any way. He just wanted to show real people in this extreme, crazy situation and then try to sort of develop how these people probably would act. And one thing that cuts across not just all of his Dead films, but a lot of his films in general, he feels that the sort of auteur perspective that he brought was most of human problems deal with the breakdown or just general lack of communication and working together. So, and then that shows up across all of his films. He also would add different things to it. So in Dawn of the Dead, he wanted to attack what he saw as sort of the rise of commercialism and sort of me culture. And he put other layers of sociopolitical implications. The other thing that he played with, though, was who are the zombies, right? And he would always say the zombies are us. As a matter of fact, he had different characters say variations of that line. And so a lot of the characters throughout that, when they would look at the zombies, you know, they'd be like, is this still my loved one? Right? Can they be brought back? You know, can you let go of this person? Should you? But he was oftentimes using the zombies to tell the story of the rank and file, right? And the world that they're sort of starting to come back and fight against because they've been stepped on.
Eric, we're in the midst of coronavirus right now. How do you think we're going to view such films about viruses in the future? Is this something that we will want more of? Is this something that we're going to turn away from because it hits too close to home? Can you speculate on that?
My speculation is that we're going to see more of it just because it's timely. In some ways, I suppose one might be able to view it as a cultural exorcism. There are some sort of core elements of horror that cut across narratives. Some things scare all of us regardless of time and place. But they resonate with us more if there are things that we can connect to our lived lives.
That's Eric Wesselman, Illinois State University psychology professor and one half of the WGLT Psych Geeks. You can hear more of the interview online at WGLT.org. I'm Laura Kennedy.